Hi, Gudva. This is Yisachar Wartell, and we are moving right along with Sefer Bereishit. Sorry, Bamidbar. Getting ahead of myself or behind myself, depending on how you look at it. But anyway, yeah, we're moving through Sefer Bamidbar, and we are up to Parshat Balak, one of many, many intriguing episodes that happens throughout the Sefer. So let's dive right in, shall we? As we know, Balak hires Bilam to curse the Jewish people. He sets out at the request, since Balak is afraid that Klal Yisrael is going to harm, wipe out, whatever it is exactly, Klal Yisrael, and he seeks to counteract the strength of Klal Yisrael by seeking to curse them, and he hires Bilam to do so. So on his way, Bilam is initially somewhat reluctant, again, part of another discussion, and he goes on his donkey, and initially, there's actually an angel that the donkey can see. Only the donkey can see it. Bilam can't see it. And therefore, the donkey diverts on three occasions during all three times which Bilam strikes his donkey out of anger. Then Hashem caused the miracle to occur, and the donkey speaks to Bilam, asking him why he struck the donkey three times. Now, interestingly enough, the Torah, and many commentaries talk about this, the Torah records the word three times as shalosh regalim, not pa'amim, which is also the term used a few psukim later when the angel Bilam finally sees it. Now, the commentaries give many explanations why the more appropriate terminology, Shlosh Pamim, is not used. For example, Rashi explains that the word of Hashem through the donkey and the Malach are explaining the holiness of the Jewish people. They can't be cursed because they have the merits of the Shlosh Regalim, the three pilgrimage festivals to which they travel to Beit HaMikdash to seek their time with God. They leave the comforts of their home and go to rejoice in a more kadosh environment, and that's something which is a big milah. It's something that's very big, very important. It's a big to-do, and therefore, for that merit alone, they're not deserving of being cursed. There's other reasons why we specifically single out this mitzvah. Again, one of them is, people leaving their homes, but there's other ones as well, right? The Sfas Emes and the Vilna Gaon, among others, explain that the three festivals obviously correspond to three things, one of which is Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, three Avot. So not only is it the merit of celebrating with Hashem and our fellow brethren, but also the merit, the zechus, of our ancestors and our forefathers and everybody else who came before us, but especially the first three in forming and paving the way for this amazing nation. Now, commentaries also give other explanations what the number three represents. We're not going to get into that here, although I do talk about that a lot. So, definitely read or listen to some of the other different Torah that deal with it. But there is another three that's in our parsha, at least one other time. And that is the fact that Bilam tries to curse the Jewish people three times. Three times Balak asks Bilam to curse, and three times it turns out his blessing. Yes, V'yomer Balak, O Bilam, Lakov, Oyvei Karati, Vihineh, Berach de Berach Zeh Shalosh Pe'amim. Now, this time the Torah doesn't say Shalosh Regalim. It says Shalosh Pe'amim, which is the more common term. The Vilna Gaon notes the idea that there's a chazaka, right? Three times is a chazaka, which is an established precedence. Once you've done something or something's been established for three times or 3 years, whatever it might be, it's firm, it's set. In Balak's mind, perhaps, once Bilam had blessed Bnei Israel three times, it was game over. And that's why he got so angry and just said, go back. That's it. The blessing was accomplished, the curse would not happen. Now, that's why he just said, Shalosh Pamim, three times. Three strikes, you're out, basically, right? Wonder where they got that from. I don't know. But perhaps Balak was actually faulting Bilam's ability because he didn't see Shalosh Regalim. He saw three Pe'amim. He saw three instances. He didn't see the Shalosh Regalim, which were the merits of the Jewish people that their ancestors caused him to take his place. He didn't really understand what was going on some level at least. He faulted Bilam rather than acknowledge the divine hand of Hashem, which shows his wickedness. In response, Bilam, who did recognize Hashem but sought to absolve himself of responsibility, claimed, "Hello, Gamma Malachecha, did I not also say to your messengers that you sent me that I wouldn't be able to do it if Hashem didn't want me to do it, and whatever Hashem said in my words, etc." Bilam was claiming that from the outset he told Balak's messengers he would only be able to utter the words that Hashem provided him, despite some possible previous indications otherwise. Again, topic in its own right. He was saying that it was not his fault. He tried to curse the Jewish people, but they have something extra. This is what he was saying. They have regalim. Balak, you don't understand. You're blaming me, but they have merits that you don't see. They have shalosh regalim, not just the shalosh pe'amim. It's not just three instances that I'm just trying to make Hashem angry and curse Klal Yisrael. It's so much bigger than that, and I'm starting to realize it now. And again, there's a lot that's potentially talked about the aftermath and whatever. And that's why, unfortunately, Bilam had to resort to other means to anger Hashem, which is what happened at the end of this week's parsha with talking about Sor and Zimri. Not going into that right now, but if you don't know what I'm talking about, please make sure you pay attention to the parsha. But without Klal Yisrael doing something to quote unquote damage themselves, they are immune to these curses because they have collective merits, not only of their own, but of their ancestors. Now, Bilam finally realized this, obviously, which is why he had to resort to other things. But because he realized this, maybe consciously, maybe subconsciously, either whatever it is, but he used the term gam, right, in his statement. Hello, gam et melachecha. Did I not also say to your messengers? What means also? I said, that's what he said. But what do I also said? So this word gam, which obviously is a very, very common word, but means something else or something extra. Gam has the numerical value of 43, which, get this, is the numerical difference between the words regalim and pe'amim. Those two words are different by a numerical factor of 43 if you add up their gematrias. We, the Jewish people, have three legs to stand on, which again gets into the whole thing of three. I'm going to give you two more right now, just as a preview. Okay, we have Pesach, Shavuot, and Sukkot, three festivals we mentioned. We have the three Avot, which we mentioned, but we also have three acts of connection, right? Three things that the world stands on, as Pirkei Avos teach us: Torah, Avodah, and Gemilut Chasadim. We also have a threefold promise or a chazakah that we are Hashem's eternal nation and he will love us unconditionally and that we can always come back to him. This is something that he says also. Bilam said there's also this other factor that I didn't realize the fact. They have not only these three festivals that they go out of their homes, out of the comfort of their homes, and they go to Yerushalayim and they go to Beit HaMikdash and they serve Hashem. They not only have the zechus of their avos, but they also are involved in three things, which gives them also a chazakah, Torah, Avodah, and Gemilut Chasadim, and that makes them beyond my ability to curse them. But unfortunately, we know that we have the ability to do things to ourselves. And that's ultimately what happened at the end of this week's Parsha and what's happened to us throughout history, and we're our own worst enemy. We see it happen at the end of the second Beit HaMikdash. We sow our own seeds. I don't even need to get into current events. We have another set of three coming up. This week, on Monday night and Tuesday, we have the beginning of what we call the 3 weeks. We call them 3 weeks because there are 3 weeks between Shavas Arbatamas and Tisha B'Av. It is a time of sorrow where we were forcibly separated from the Beit HaMikdash, from our land, and the special connection that we had to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Note that's also three things. However, Hashem is teaching us that we still actually have all three in a certain sense. In place of the Beit HaMikdash, we have our shuls, we have our Bate Midrashot, our places of study. We have the ability to access the land of Israel in some capacity. And in today's day and age, we actually have the true access to the land of Eretz Yisrael, not just the ability to learn about it or have some other more abstract connection to it. But even before we had access to, really had any access to the land of Israel, any place that a Jew stood could be a place of holiness. And they can make that on some level as if it was an Eretz Kadosh. And of course, we always, always have a connection to Kadosh Baruch Hu. That is special and that is strong. We might not be able to relate and understand exactly the same way as we did back then, but we have different ways in which we can understand, and we can still have an amazing closeness. We never lost that connection to Kadosh Baruch Hu. That never was severed. Sometimes it may take a little bit more to get there, a little more to see it, but we never lost that. And we were never lost. We may have felt lost, we may have felt cast off, but sometimes we just have a difficult time finding our way back. And that's something we need to constantly keep in mind. Keep striving, and we'll get there. All right. Wishing you all an amazing Shabbat Shalom. Thank you, and see you next week.